Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
One author and stay-at-home dad, Claude Nobler, sat across from his soon-to-be 5-year-old son, Natty, and the mother who was giving him up because she was dying of AIDS in a dusty cafe in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. It was only the first of many lessons he would learn about parenting. And these lessons weren't only about how to parent a child who was different from him or who didn't understand English. They were lessons that applied equally as well to the parenting of his two older biological children, Grace and Clay. Claude Nobler's new book is More Love, Less Panic, 7 Lessons I Learned About Life, Love, and Parenting After We Adopted Our Son from Ethiopia. The book is published by Tarcher Penguin, and we welcome Claude Nobler to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
At what point did you think that you would write about this and share the story and what you learned from this experience?
Well, you know, from the very beginning, it was a very strange story, and people always said, oh, you are going to have to make sure you remember everything that you're going through, because, you know, when I met Natty, my adopted son, he didn't speak a word of English, and I knew 4 words of his language, and 2 of those were about going to the bathroom. So we had a fairly unique circumstance from the very start. It wasn't until much later, though, that I began to see that what I was going through with Natty was really very true and applicable with all 3 of my children. You know, Natty, one of the things we talked about calling the book was that the title, You Can't Turn a Giddy Ethiopian into a Neurotic Jew, because I kept trying to sort of change my son and steer him a little bit. And he was this incredibly exuberant kid. When we were in the hotel in Addis Ababa on the first 2 days when we were just getting to know each other, one day he walked to the hotel desk clerk and began speaking in Amharic, his language. And then he began dancing, and the hotel clerk started laughing, and I said, what did he say? And the clerk said, well, he said English was easy for him, even though at the time he didn't speak any English, and this is how you dance. And he'd begun dancing. And, you know, I kept trying to kind of change him to a slightly less confident version of himself and maybe a little bit quieter version of himself. And what I realized was I did that with all 3 of my kids. I kept trying to, what I thought of as parent them, but really it was just not accepting who they were. And that's when I began thinking that maybe this was a book that a lot of people would find useful.
I want to talk about some of the lessons in just a moment, but what brought you to the decision of saying, okay, we would like to adopt this child?
You know, I have to tell you, this is not a very flattering thing for me to have to say about myself, but one day we got a newspaper article that talked about an orphanage in Ethiopia, and really I mentioned it to my wife thinking there was no way she would ever do this, and I would get all sorts of credit for being the kind of person who would adopt a child if his wife would let him. And my wife said, you know, we actually could do that. And that's how we started down the path. But really, I was just trying to look good to impress my wife, which is a terrible thing to say, but happens to be true, unfortunately.
So obviously, the discussions get more involved after a point, and you realize what is at stake here. So the obvious, and you write about this in the book, of how this is going to impact the relationship that you have with your other children.
Right, because my eldest son, Clay, who is now an 18-year-old freshman at Duke, was at that point, I guess, about 7, and he had the same oatmeal every day since he was, I guess, you know, about 1 or 2, and he still has that same oatmeal every day, and he really didn't like change. You know, I talk about in the book, I remember literally having to restrain him when we needed to buy him new sneakers because he just didn't want any change. And yet my wife and I went and did the largest change you can imagine. I mean, we suddenly brought in an instant younger brother who was 5 and Clay was 7. And we really worried about how that would affect him. And one of the things that I did realize in parenting Natty is that, you know, I'm terrible at worrying. I mean, I worry a lot. I get a lot of practice at it, but I'm not good at knowing what to worry about. And I think that's a very common thing, that people are always surprised about stuff that happens because they're worrying about things that never happen. And one of the things I didn't see was that changing Clay's life forced him, in the best possible way, to become more open to change. You know, one day he said to me when we went and bought sneakers, he was about 7 and a half, and I said, wow, that was really easy. You don't seem to have a problem with new things anymore. And he said, Dad, I got used to a whole new brother. This is like nothing for me, you know? So changing my children's lives really turned out to be opening their lives. And the thing that I was so terrified would cause them all sorts of damage made them more outgoing and accepting and really turned out to be a wonderful thing for them.
As I mentioned, the title of the book is More Love, Less Panic. It seems, and you alluded to this earlier, but the less panic is an issue for you. That's harder.
Well, I think it's an issue for every parent. I think I have about the average amount of panic. I know that, you know, entire books have been written that basically say you have to teach your kid to play the tuba at 5 so that they'll get into a good college at 18, so that they'll get a good job. And, you know, we love our kids so much that seems like a reasonable plan. And really what it is just panic, that our love for our children is so intense and we want so much for them never to be unhappy that we get a little crazy, you know? I mean, I think that we start to believe that we can control their lives and we're going to, you know, get them the right tutor in third grade that will, you know, establish them as a future presidential candidate in 30 years. And, you know, I think that that's just sort of crazy. And really, what I understand about my children is that I want to love them, I want to be present for them, and I want to influence their lives, not control them. I want them to see me living a life that makes sense, and you know, it's more important for me to treat my wife well than it is for me to think I'm going to, you know, make my son pick up his towel so that he will be a good man who will be clean and neat and attract a good man. Like, you can just go crazy when you have kids. And what I've learned is it's not really necessary.
It's been 10 years since Nadi's adoption, and I'm curious as to when things started to gel with you of saying, okay, I think I understand what I'm learning here, because there's a point of actually doing it, and then there's a point of where you're reflecting on it.
Well, I think that's a very ongoing process. I mean, you know, Nadi continues to be, you know, very different than me, and as does my daughter, by the way, you know. And I think that the beginning of my experience with Nadi was so hard and so confusing. And, you know, he didn't speak English, and he was so different. And I remember, you know, my wife and I decided we were going to spend an entire day, just one day, not saying no to him. And as I talk about in the book, my wife lasted only 6 seconds before she shouted no because he was, you know, trying to run off with a fork or, you know, do something dangerous. And I would have judged her, but I only lasted 4 seconds. But after that initial first 2 years, I think that, you know, I began to see how much joy was in Nadi's life. You know, I stopped wanting to change who he was, and I started marveling at who he was. And that's, I think, when I began to really settle in and understand what I was going through and what Nadi was going through. You know, when you're done trying to change your children so that they'll be safe in the future, you do start to see, wow, Nadi is really confident and funny, and you know, he loves to argue politics with me, which I happen to enjoy. And, you know, I began to appreciate each of my children as I sort of exhaled and, you know, saw them for what they were and what they bring to the world and to my life.
You write about this in the book as well. It's interesting. Your mother was also adopted, and it brings a unique connection between your mother and Nadi.
You know, it does, and yet my mother I was just talking about this with Nadi yesterday, as a matter of fact. I was saying that, you know, my mother was very, very, she was against adoption before we adopted, and she was very afraid how it would affect Clay, and she said, well, you know, you've got a five-year-old daughter, and, you know, will that change her relationship to you? Will she have less time with, you know, my wife and her mother? And, you know, she worried about all those things, even though she herself had been adopted after World War II. She grew up and was put in a Catholic orphanage under a fake name and was in hiding from the German army, which would occasionally come in and look for Jews in hiding. And yet, the day we adopted Natty, he instantly was then part of the family. And I'll never forget, my parents came out for their first visit to meet Natty when Natty was here, I guess, about, I don't know, a month. And my mother and my father were sitting and reading to him, and he was so excited to have family. And they were reading a book that he didn't understand. And as I walked by, my mother was saying to Natty, "And one day you'll grow up and you'll marry a nice Jewish girl." And Natty didn't know what she was saying, but said, "Okay," you know. And that's when I knew that Natty was in the family to my mother. And the really funny thing isn't just the connection Natty has with my mother, but I often think that Natty is the son my father never had. They're both very interested in finance. They both look at me like, "Oh, There's Claude again. Oh, what's he thinking?" But they talk about stocks, and Natty had a, you know, some kids have a fantasy baseball team. Natty had a fantasy stock account, and he's heavily invested, and my father is a money manager, and Natty and my father are as thick as thieves. They are just as tight as can be, and it's truly, he is, of all the grandchildren my father has, he is the one that is most like him.
What do you hope people ultimately get from the story that you tell in the book?
Well, I think the message that I have is that it's okay to exhale. You know, when you are a parent, one of the things that I've learned is that I now think of myself as every 2 years, I used to be stupid. So that, you know, when I had a young child, I was panicked about their nap schedule. And then 2 years later, I thought, why did I worry about that? And, you know, when my son, Clay, used to use a pacifier, I was panicked. What if he never gets rid of it? And then 2 years later, you know, kids don't have pacifiers when they're 18 and college freshmen and, you know, when they're in first grade. And I thought, why was I worried about that? And I worried so terribly if I couldn't braid my daughter's hair. I used to braid her hair and she would wind up looking like a unicorn because I couldn't get the braids to be on the sides. And I was terrified that other kids wouldn't like her and what if she was unpopular? And I thought, why did I worry about that? There was nothing. And so there's so much pressure in our society to, you know, again, is your child taking music lessons? Are they with the right person? Are they getting extracurricular activities so they'll get into college? And, you know, you really, it's okay just to love your kids. It's okay for your kids to be exactly who they are. Natty is bold and confident, and he could run a startup company. And, you know, Clay, my son, is kind and gentle and considerate, and there are jobs for kind, gentle, considerate people. He'd be a terrific author, much like myself, because I'm so kind and considerate. There is, you know, my daughter is intuitive and so hardworking and so diligent, and she could be a remarkable lawyer. You know, there's so many different things, and I don't need any of my kids to be different than what they already are for them to succeed, and that means I can enjoy them. Because one thing you do realize as your kids get older is your kids get older. It feels like it's going to last forever, but they are just a chapter in your book. They are not the whole book. And if you don't enjoy them, instead of feel that you frantically have to parent them into success, that time is going to pass. You know, Clay looks at me and says, "Dad, you're my best friend." And I mean, I could burst out crying as I think about that. But, you know, the truth is, for a best friend, he's still going back to college, and he's still really interested in the stuff he's doing there. And he doesn't have time to call me every day. You have to love them while you have them and trust that they'll be okay, because that time is just so precious and can be such a joy, or it can be a just descent into panic and what am I doing wrong today? And probably, you know, if you're a good, kind, reasonable person, you're not doing anything that's going to cause your children that much harm. They'll be fine. You can love them.
The name of the book is More Love, Less Panic, 7 Lessons I Learned About Life, Love, and Parenting After We Adopted Our Son from Ethiopia. The book is published by Tarcher Penguin. Claude Nobler is the author. Claude, thank you very much for spending time with us. Best of luck with the book. Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, More Love, Less Panic. It is published by Tarcher Penguin. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.